When the Father comes, it's so good. We're living in a messed up world. We're living in a world that is broken because of our stupidity, because of the things we've done. This is not a world that's a result of a Father who infinitely loves us and who is always gracious and always passionate about His children. And that's you and me. And so, Father, we just thank You so much that You choose to come in the midst. You come in the midst of a broken and messed up world, but You still come because You choose to come. And tonight, Father, we set aside the lies that we have allowed ourselves to be duped into about who You are. And we declare tonight, Lord, that You are always faithful. You are always loving. You are always merciful. You are always gracious. You are always kind. You are always looking for us to come running home. You are the one that loves us more than we can even imagine. And we honor You tonight. We honor You tonight, Lord. We lift up our hearts to You and we honor You because You are the true God. You are the living God who sent His Son, who sent the best that He could to come to this earth so that we could find salvation, to find freedom in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came and You did it and You made a way and You broke the power of sin and You broke the power of death and You rose again and You left us with the sweet Holy Spirit to lead us, equip us, educate us, cultivate us to become the sons and daughters of the living God. And we will shake off everything that says we are not. We shake it off now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Bobby, in Jesus' name. Son of God, hallelujah. Son of God, shake it off. Shake it off, shake it off. Some of you guys didn't come up to the front, but I want to pray now in Jesus' name. Daniil, son of God, the son of God, calling on your life. Rise up, calling on your life. Shake it off. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Thank You, Lord Jesus. He's not only a God of love, but He's a God of power. And He's changing and He's healing and He's fixing us up. Broken into wholeness. Broken into wholeness. Amen. Amen. We were shouting and we were jumping around just now. And for the visitors that are here, we normally take our meds just sort of lunchtime on a Sunday. If we don't take them, we have a problem. So I do apologize. But I got to say this. I'm getting to an age where I think, man, you should not be doing this kind of thing. But I am still so passionate about Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for what He's done in my life. When I see what He's able to do in our lives, there is no hope in this world. There's no other hope in this world. There is only one hope, and His name is Jesus. There is one hope, and He does it through us. That's the incredible thing. The crazy thing is He does it through us. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you feel special? Because if you don't, and I mean, you know what I mean by special, not like special, you know. I'm talking about really the real sense of the word special. So I've got notes here. Yeah, I really want to trust God tonight. I do know that there's some things in my heart that I want to share. And I trust that it's going to bring freedom to us. But at this point, I've got to say that I'm not actually too sure where it is. So, and how are we going to do it? So I'm going to just have some water. So you can give me a second just to sort of gather myself. And if I don't have anything, I'll tell you guys, you'll be dismissed and you're going to have something to eat.
I'm going to rip through this quick. I think I need to do
I want to do this. We've been through a tough time this year. We've been through a tough time this week in this nation. And I think one of my concerns is just how we deal with it as Christians, because we are not the problem. And we should not be immersed in the problem. We are the solution. We are the hope. We're the light. We are what the world is looking for. And I've been a little concerned about how we get caught up in stuff that is human orientated. When broken people try and fix something, you are going to get brokenness. There's only one who is whole, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one that's whole. And when we follow what he says in his scriptures, we begin to understand this. We begin to understand what he's delivered us from and how he's freed us from the kingdom of this world. We will begin to be the answer that God wants for us. We'll begin to speak life into death situations. And just as we heard tonight, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what the circumstances are, God is outside of that. And he's looking for desperate people. And Michael, where are you? I just love the way you lead us in worship, brother. Where are you? You just, it's beautiful. Pushing, pushing, pushing. We got to be desperate. When you look at people that are passionate about their lovers, goodness sake, we accept it. And when we want to be passionate about the king of all creation, we get so conservative. We got to get loose. We got to get more Pentecostal. Woo! Have you checked the Pentecostals? I mean, they can be quite wild, eh? So I'm even a little bit embarrassed about that part. Okay, let's get down to scripture. I want to talk about one or two things. And scripture, apparently I might have given my scriptures in a bit too late. So are we going to be able to get that scripture? Exodus 17, lovely. You see, God loves me. Oh, it's so good to be a son of God. It's so good to be a child of the King. Hallelujah. Okay, what are we looking for? We're looking for Exodus 17. And we're going to go from verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we come to your word, we just pray that you would open up our hearts. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Would you cause it to burn in us, Lord, like the disciples on the road of Emmaus when they heard you speak? Would you cause your word to be foremost in our desires, that we would hunger to hear from you? And tonight, Father, we're hungry to hear from you. So would you speak in Jesus' name? Holy Spirit, open up our ears. Open up our minds, open up our hearts, that we would understand what you are shouting at the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we got some scripture there. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." And so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. Joshua generation. Imagine if this was a setting. And these are vicious guys. The Israelites were a bunch of shepherds. Ragtag army. And they being confronted by some serious warriors. And imagine Joshua. Moses says, "Listen, the three of us are going to the top of the mountain. You're going to fight and we're going to watch you." How cool is that, eh? So, can we go a bit further? As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held their hands up, one on one side and one on the other side, that his hands remained steady till sunset. And so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Next, thank you. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." So Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner. This was no different to the time that we're living in. It was the first real war that the Israelites engaged in, that we know of, any serious battle. And when I look at this, this is what we're engaged in. We're fighting the Amalekites. We're fighting the world. We're fighting the flesh. We're fighting the enemy. And we're never going to do it with human effort. We cannot do it with human effort. We can't do it with human prescriptions that the world is throwing out. It doesn't work. And so these guys were in precisely the same situation as us. And I felt God bring me to the scripture this week and have a look at it. And there's a couple of things I just want to point out. Some things that we could just straighten in our life, line up so that we begin to walk in this. And one of the things was that that Moses had a rod. Now that was a shepherd's rod. Now typically it was quite a long thing. It was probably about 6 foot, a couple of meters. But that was a declaration of faith. When I do this, God will continue being on our side. So there was an aspect of faith that was there. But what I see is I see the Lord is our shepherd. You remember Psalm 23? Remember that? There was a scripture we used to memorize. Does anybody still remember it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Should we help the guys out here? Because I think we're struggling a little bit. So am I. Sorry. I just want to get the right translation. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want. Can we go back, Russell? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, one of the most beautiful things is to hear the sound of moving water. And to lie in that kind of place is absolute peace. Isn't it? Beautiful. And we have got so much stuff. We've got turmoil consistently in our lives. That's where we need to be. Because it restores my soul. And when my soul is restored, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake, I live right. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Sorry, Russell, next one. We'll just finish it off. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's some of you in this place, and there's some of us that have been there, and others that are going to be there, and some of us that are here now. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table for me, before me, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say that with me. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I didn't hear anybody. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a promise. That is our God speaking to us. That's our loving Father speaking to us. Shake off the lies this evening. Shake them off about who our Father is. He's not against you. He's not against you. He's always going to be for you. But there are conditions that we have to live up to. There's things that we need to do. And one of them is to see him as the shepherd. In fact, when I see that rod, it's the Spirit of God who leads us through this life. Can we go back to that scripture in Exodus? So here we've got a strategy for battle. We've got the Amalekites winning when the armor's down, and we got the Israelites winning when the armor's up. And so Moses, who's now an old man, he's well over 80, and his arm gets tired. What is the first thing they do? What is the first thing they do? I don't know where it is, but they put a rock underneath him. They put a, well, stone sounds a bit naffy, eh? They put a rock. For me, it's a rock, because the rock is Jesus. The first thing they do is stabilize him, to give him balance, to give him perspective. He's no longer wobbling. He's sitting, and he's firm. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're living in a murky, dark, dismal time. People around us are freaking out. There's fear everywhere. And every now and again, we will cover our heads and we'll try and hide away from the reality of it. But in the midst of that, there's light. There's light for my feet. There's a lamp for my feet and there's a light for my path. There's no reason why I should not know where I'm going or know where I am. Isn't that beautiful? And so they put the rock underneath him. We went for a little hike the other day. Matt's responsible. It was his bachelor's. So somebody sold it to us. We're going on this little hike. You don't have little hikes in Cape Town. When you've got a mountain, you've got a valley, you've got an up and you've got a down, and you've got an up and you've got a down. In this case, it was just an up. And my body was screaming at me and just saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? But by the grace of God, I managed to cope. And I think it was supposed to be 13.6 Ks, but we were brilliant. We parked our car 2 Ks away from the start. So it was 15.6 Ks to the hut. Got to the hut that night, and I thought, Lord Jesus, how am I going to get back? Because we had to go back the other way. And it was grueling. And even the young oaks took strain, didn't you? Hey? But you know what? There's always a bit of casualty in those kind of things. And by the grace of God, it wasn't me. But Craig had a dodgy leg. And he already had it strapped up. And so we were up the mountain. I mean, he was just doing so well. And then on the way back, he started taking some strain. And it started really affecting him because there were more downhills on the way back. And three of us stayed behind. We were actually down in the pool. It wasn't on the mountain because we were praying for the guys. Maybe it was the pool of Siloam, I don't know. It wasn't that religious, but we were praying for the guys. And they went ahead of us. And I found out afterwards that Yaku and James, wherever James is, I saw him somewhere, James over behind Yaku and Wayne, they took Craig's bag. And you know, when you're sickling, that just that thing on your shoulder, that weight, it's just a mission. And to have your brothers take that off and embrace it and put that weight on them when all the guys are struggling, I mean, that is just crazy. That is so, so crazy. And he eventually made it. He made it through. And this wasn't a war, but it gives you a picture of something where we need one another so desperately in the church. I shared with men afterwards that we're not Christians, and I told them the relationship that some of us have, and they were astounded because of how God had built us together, how we sharpen one another, how we speak to one another straight in love. It's a beautiful thing. And I trust that's something that's going to grow with us, that we find men, that we look for men. We got to be led by the Spirit to find those guys that God wants us to connect with. Because guys, we struggle in this area. Intimacy with one another. I mean, the ladies, they know their grandparents after 2 minutes. You know, they know each other's life history. They know everything. I mean, they just like, they let it out. And we, you know, we got these defenses. And if I just want to hang on to that thing just for a little bit. Ladies, I think you guys are probably doing well because I don't feel there's anything in God here. But I do think as men, we got to be closer to other men. We got to be vulnerable with other men so that they know how to open up, so we know how to open up. It's a big thing for us. Because when we do that, we'll begin to open up to the Father. We'll begin to see something happening amongst us. We'll begin to open it. There will be something that happens inside of our hearts. And so I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you to do that. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to hug another man. It really is. To hug another man with love that is pure. And to be able to look at him in the eye and say, I love you. And to be able to share truth and to share things that are necessary for us to grow. So here you've got Moses tired, and you've got two men on his side holding his arms up. And that is such a beautiful picture of the church. Physical touch. I can imagine, you know, maybe if I sort of started explaining this to the younger generation, one of the guys would have said, you know, I'm just going to WhatsApp him quickly and say, look, I'll help. Or, you know, I'm just going to send an Instagram picture of me holding up weights at gym. And then maybe you'll be encouraged by that. Now, I'm not being facetious. There's something about us that is falling into a WhatsApp Christianity that stops us touching one another. We need to touch one another. Show me your face, Lord. I want to see you. Show me your face, Lee. I want to see you. I want to know that you care about me. We got to bend this thing a little bit because it's too easy to send a message. It's too easy to flick it with two thumbs. It's not what the church is. We're going to change people's perception. We're going to change our perception of one another. And we're going to see the glory of God fall in our midst. We're going to touch one another. We're going to be doing things for one another. We're going to be phoning, talking. Let's shake this thing off. It's something that's crept in. It's what the world does. It's not what we do. We give. We give. We give. We look in the eyes and we give. And something is received. And something breaks in the spirit. There's something that breaks of the greediness, the holding onto things that this world has taught us, and it releases us to be freed for the things of Jesus. Yeah. We want to be like him, don't we? I want to be like him. I'm getting long in the tooth now. You know, I said that when I was 20. And it's like many years later, and I'm still struggling to be like Jesus. But by the power of the Spirit, I'm going to trust him to keep on changing me. And I trust that we will, as a church, begin to demonstrate the power of God in our midst. And so that's pretty much it. That's it. I just want to encourage you along those lines. But I do want to say that I just want to read a scripture out of Revelation to finish. And I want to let you know that the beautiful thing is that Moses was on the mountain. And when we begin to enter war, when we begin to enter issues, when we begin to face problems, when we find ourselves in the battle, you are not going to be Joshua. We need to have Moses. We need to see things from God's perspective. Do you know when you're at the top, you can see what's going on at the bottom? When you're at the bottom, you can't really see what's going on at the bottom. You can see what's going on in front of you. And so we need to see things from a heavenly perspective. And the way that we see that is through Scripture and through God's eyes. And I just want to say tonight, as we look at this, it's a scripture out of Revelation 5. And it's got some weighty things about it, so I'm going to maybe skip through some of it. But really what it's talking about the time when the scroll has got to be opened. It talks about the unveiling of eternity and our part that we play in eternity. And who is going to open the scroll? Who is going to open the last will and testament of God? Is there anybody to open up? And it says, when I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne with a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth was, or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David has triumphed. And he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. And so we worship you today, God, that you can do it through Jesus Christ. That we are the victors through Jesus Christ. We're not at the end, we're in the beginning. And then I saw a lamb look up as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Oh Lord, Jesus. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each one had a harp, and they were holding a golden bowl of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And I don't know everybody here, but if you don't know Jesus tonight, you can. Because that means everybody from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Can we hear that song? We're just going to finish with a song. Just want you to hear this, guys. Listen to it. Please just listen to the power of it. I'm going to ask the guys to put the words up as well. And I'm just going to finish with that. And at the end, I'm going to pray. If there are people that want prayer, I'm going to ask you to come up and then we'll pray for you. Okay?